Let us continue in the form we have been ministering in now for quite some time. Of course, I said to you that the situations of life and the things that are happening, they are so much a testimony to the fact that we are on the right track in the things that we minister, prioritizing, amen, the eternal workings of God, amen, and viewing life from the vertical plane, amen. Part of that is the scripture doctrine of regeneration. Let us go to our base scripture, which is found in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Amen. As we continue to labor, we say to you that God's masterful plan is glorious, and it is the greatest of all. There is none like it. There is none like Him. Oh, my God, hallelujah. There is none that can do what He does like He does. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand, but that doesn't negate or take away from anything that He is doing. Amen. This is why we must walk in the faith of the confidence. Apostle Paul said, if we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Hallelujah. Liberman is our designated reader. Amen. And so now go back into, after having been away from this for a couple of weeks, actually away from the pulpit preaching-wise for a couple of weeks, we're now back. We shall continue.
Amen.
Amen. Where we have been laboring. In Titus chapter 3, Elder, let's see, just read verses for the sake of time this morning. Read verses 5 and 6 from the King James. We start off like we always do. Read from the King James, and then and from there we'll actually start at verse 4, 5, and 6, and then we'll progress from there. Everyone has Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read or read.
Titus chapter 3, beginning with fourth verse.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
Above that, in spite of that, amen. In spite of everything that's going on, oh my God, and going down. In spite of all that is happening around us. In spite of all that befalls us. We have the kindness and love of God, our Savior. Amen. Has been revealed. It is revealed. It is manifested through testimony that in spite of whatever else is going on, amen, above that, we have the kindness and love of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Here, we must look at this not as something that we have wrought or that we have participated in. Verse 5 goes on to let us know that these workings have nothing to do with us. Read.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
Not, and we haven't, and with it, this is saying is we don't have anything to do with it. Amen. This is what God is doing. You're respected to us. Hmm? Read.
But according to His mercy.
It's about His mercy.
He saved us.
Mm-hmm.
By the washing of regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Now, to show you that it's not about us. Verse 6 reads what?
Which He shed on us abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Through Jesus Christ our Savior.
All right, now let's quickly go to the Greek text. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 from the Millennial. Hopefully, at some point, everyone will have a copy of this. Amen.
Hallelujah.
This is no knock against the King James, but amen. As we progress, we dwell and abide in that vein. All right? Everyone has it. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Elder, yes, read verse 4, 5, and 6.
Titus chapter 3, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
But when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us,
mm-hmm.
God, not by works in righteousness, which did we,
mm-hmm.
but according to the of him mercy,
mm-hmm.
he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal spirit.
Holy. Mm-hmm.
Holy.
Uh-huh.
Which he shed on us richly.
See that verb there? Ezekun. That's an indicative aorist. That is a past completed fact. Amen. When did God bless you? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Here it is said it is a fact that he blessed you. And the blessing of you is a past completed fact. Amen. Past completed. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Here this must be traced back to eternity.
Mm.
Before you came on the scene to influence anything or to mess anything up or to make anything right. Amen. God's program is not based upon our participation. Amen. Read that. Which he did what now?
Which he shed on us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, keep reading.
In order that,
mm-hmm.
being justified by the of that one grace,
having been justified by his grace,
heirs we might become.
Yeah, we've gone over that. Anything mean, which is a subjunctive aorist. We might haven't been. Oh Lord, hallelujah. That here is a past completed what? What's the subjunctive mood?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Probability. Past completed. What's the probability of it? The probability of it is we don't know it before it is manifested. Amen. What is the completed fact that if God has that God did whatever it is, God did it in eternity. And as it is manifested to us, that is our salvation, we realize that this is an eternal decree. Amen. What we are and what God has done for us is eternally decreed. Amen.
Yes.
My God, this is not something that happened. Oh my God, man, come on the scene. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Paul writes again, as I've said to you, and then more importantly, as the scripture conveys that in Romans, as he speaks about election, discourses it, he speaks about twin that were born to the same parent. Of course, if they're twin, they would have to be born to the same parent.
Yeah.
And, said God loved one and hated the other before any of them had a chance to do or say anything or know anything. Amen. Before they were even born. Amen. And of course, when we trace that back to when, it's not an occurrence of time. It's an occurrence of eternity. Now, why do we keep hopping on that? We keep hopping on that because if it's something that God did in eternity, that established the security of it.
Yes. Because
a lot of things that happen in the time, things are going to happen in time.
Yes.
As we sit here this morning, we don't know what's next. We don't know who's next. But you know what? when you have this information, you're not walking around worried about that.
No
not worried about that. Amen. God's got it covered. Oh, my God. And whatever the final plans are, you are in the most favorable position. Amen. Oh, my God. Before creation, before the foundation of the world, he having chosen you and placed you in the body of Christ.
Glory to God.
Amen. I know many of us, I'm not saying so much those that are here, but many of God's people, that doesn't mean too much because they have not somehow realized the impact of what that actually means.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, we sing the song, safe and secure from all alarm. Well, we're thinking about, hey, the Lord's going to protect me from some accident. But then when some accident occurs, we're all messed up because
yes.
We said, well, what happened? Amen. But if you understand true safety and security,
yeah.
It is the fact that you, amen, are a member of the body of Christ.
Yes.
You are in Christ. You have received his nature.
Yes.
You received it in eternity before you were ever born.
Yes.
Amen. Before time, before creation.
Yes.
Amen. God fixed this thing.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
And you, my friend, have the greatest of all benefits.
Yes.
Because he called you. He loved you by his mercy. He makes you by his grace. Oh my God, he positioned you as sons in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Oh my
yes,
God.
Yes. Thank you.
It's got to mean something.
Oh yes. Thank God.
Now what helps us.
Hallelujah.
To know that God is an independent worker. What has got us kind of confused is the ministry's presentation of the workings of God. First of all, they've got God's workings in time.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Time is a very, it is a creation of God for manifestations only. A lot of things are being manifested in time. And many of them are disturbing. Many of the revelations and the things that come to pass, they are disturbing. Amen. Well, we have turmoil. We have wars. We have we have death. We have destruction. All of these things are going down. And then you're going to take salvation and just throw it in the same pot? No way. No. Your salvation is isolated and immune from all of these things. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. This is why it's important. We will stand and we will militate against the practice of the requirement that men make a decision for Christ as though they're determining what's going on and when it's going on and how it's going on. Amen. If you take it out of the sphere of time, in the field of eternity, it removes all of the doubt, all of the fears that have come and been a part of that to which we see every day. We are confronted with every day. Amen. And so salvation, amen, is a work of God independent from the happenings of life. Amen. And so to draw a great line of distinction, we must militate against the teachings that say that man participates in it, that man plays a determining role in it. And we have progressed to the point in our presentation that we have looked at the conditions that are placed upon salvation.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was repent and believe, and we had moved down and just right quickly we looked at the meaning of repentance, and here we see this a change of mind, and it's all repentance. Amen. And the relationship of repenting to believing, and of course, to go from a non-believer to a believer, you are actually repenting, but you are actually just having a change of mind, a change, amen, of view. Amen. Then we look, we'll look at the relationship of repentance and covenants. This is why we have stopped this year going back and again, and we're reiterating the essence of dividing the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. Mm-hmm. Amen. Otherwise, when you read the Bible, you will not be able to comprehend, first of all, the eternal view as it is given to us through our gospel. Amen.
Yes.
The volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul,
yes,
amen, for the information, mm-hmm, and directives for the church, for us in this day, in this time. Amen. And we're able to dispensationally understand, amen, from our gospel, the very thing that we stand here this morning and said to you, that these are eternal workings. You do not get that information in the other parts of the Bible. They are written basically from the viewpoint of time and from the viewpoint of where man is looking and seeing things in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Amen. And it looks like God is changing his mind, and he's not, but he's immutable. Amen. It looks like, amen, men are doing things and God is responding. Amen. But that's written from the knowledge of what's in those contracts. Amen. And it's and so when you look at the relation of repentance and covenants, amen, you see the things that are portrayed, but you can look at them from the knowledge what has been given to us and the knowledge that has been given to us. Also, dispensational inclusions and the absence of the man in our contract, amen, for repentance from salvation. And of course, amen, there are no conditions in the grace contract. Amen. It's not about you. It's about what God has already done. Amen. Lastly, the significance of repentance in specific passages of the scriptures. And we had gone to Matthew chapter 21, and we had looked at, first of all, the one that Jesus spoke about, amen, the brother who said, I wouldn't go, and then he went. It was simply a change of mind. We utilized that to give the true expression of the Greek word metanoia, which simply means, again, a change of mind. And here, we stand this morning to say and to declare, to make a statement that your salvation is not based upon you repenting and believing. Oh my God. And I know that militates against what orthodoxy, amen, has taught us, amen. But again, repentance is simply a change of mind. And the believing, amen, is that which is caused by God in bringing you into an understanding of what God has done to you. But when you turn to Christ, you must understand that your salvation and your position in God was a predetermined act.
Yes.
In eternity.
Yes.
Amen. And so it's not about doing this, doing that, or doing the other,
amen,
things. And it is important, amen, to look at the different covenants, as we've said, and see that which is written in Jeremiah and some of the other prophecies, and worked out, amen, in the preaching of the gospel by first John the Baptist and proclaiming it, and then Jesus and his disciples and the 70 and all of these things, amen, was really the enactment of Jeremiah chapter 31 that speaks to the end, amen, that the old the covenant, that is, the law would be replaced by the new covenant. Amen. This contract explicitly states who, amen, the covenant, the agreement is with.
Yes.
He said it is to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah.
Yes.
Amen. And no, we're not spiritual Israel.
No,
amen.
Not.
I'm so glad we got that straight around here.
Thank God.
Woo, hallelujah.
Yes.
But these things, as they are spelled out, and as the manifestation of them recorded as far as in the day of Pentecost when Peter is speaking, and I'm moving along right quickly. We've gone through these things as he spoke, as he preached, and in Acts chapter 2, he's saying, "Ye men of Judah," that's who the contract was with. "Ye men of Israel," that's who the contract was with. They're the ones that asked the question, "What must we do?"
Right.
I mean, there was nothing at that point that Gentiles could do.
Right.
Woo, hallelujah. And he said, "Repent and be baptized, each one of you." And so, amen, even then when the word is used, it is used for the simple purpose of the conveyance that they were to have a change of mind.
Yes, Lord.
Depending upon the law and move out of its ordinances and the fulfillment of them by their works for righteousness, and to reach out and to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In effect, is moving from the aspect of the law being written on tables of stone to it being written in their heart. Amen. And so, this was good news to them, but it is not our gospel.
Right. Amen.
Do we repent? Do we have a change of mind when we come to the knowledge what God has done? Absolutely. Amen. But the doctrine of repentance is speaking for turning from something to something.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we come back to that. Amen. We turn to something. Amen. From something.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because we absolutely had no prior relationship, that is, as Gentiles, with God. We were not covered in the covenants. So we must understand the implication of the covenant arrangements and the fact we were excluded. Amen. In order for you as a Gentile to have a relationship with God, you must look to the only covenant that covers you.
Right.
That is the grace covenant.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. That which was hid from ages and now is revealed. The mystery. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And so we don't have to go back and look at what God did for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What he did for Israel was for Israel.
All right.
Amen. That which he promised Israel was for Israel.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. But that which he has promised us, mm-hmm, amen, is in our contract. And it's more.
Yeah.
Amen. We, amen, were chosen, that is, elected in him, according to Ephesians 1 and 4,
glory,
before the creation of the world.
Amen.
Amen. You were in him, amen, having been ordained as sanctified ones, set apart ones, sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ. Even though there are a plethora of new covenant passages that condition salvation according to his covenant,
mm-hmm,
amen, based upon this recipient's testimony,
right,
of belief and exercise of faith, amen, that should partly enshrine the contrasting stipulations of the covenants, that is, the new in grace,
mm-hmm,
amen, it does distinguish the usage thereby. Amen. In the grace contract, there are no conditions. Amen. There is no amen, condition or reason or anything that you can put your finger on as a participant and say, this is why I'm saved. Amen. And so it takes the human responsibility aspect right out of picture. And of course, there are those that are going to jump us when we say that. Amen. Understand what we are saying. As humans, we respond, but it is not your response in the sense of that it was volitional. You respond as you were, amen, as you were called to respond. Amen. So we cannot look at this as a separate act. And so the importance of this, amen, and of course, as we strive and labor to drive this home, amen, it is for the purpose of us being feeling secure and safe in spite of the things that are around us. Yes. Amen. It's not about us. It's about God. I want you to take out this document, amen, at the time that we have left this morning. I want you to go to the second page. Oh, my God, I should say page 3. And Elder and everyone, I want you to turn to the context of Romans chapter 14, verse 7 through 10. Read that first in the King James, amen, and then from the Greek text. It's so very important, amen. We want to feel safe. We want to feel secure. We need some answers for life, amen. We're not tossed and we're not disillusioned, amen. And there's so many unanswered questions that God's people should have answers to this morning. Amen. Because it's all written. Amen. Look and live. The song said, look and live. It's recorded in His word. Look, but you have, but you're going to receive the knowledge because you looked. And as you look, amen, you comprehend. And as you comprehend, oh my God, you will live. Yeah. You will live a life of joy and peace. Yeah. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Every day you will be thanking God and praising Him. Magnifying Him regardless of what's going down or what's to come. Alright, everyone has Romans 14 and 7, say amen. Alright, Elder, read first from the King James.
Romans chapter 14, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself.
Mm-hmm.
For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord.
So it doesn't matter which way you're coming or going. You see the bottom line there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, wrap that up.
Verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living.
Mm-hmm.
But why dost thou judge thy brother?
Mm-hmm.
Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Now, when we're going to go here now to the Greek, and Elder, I want you to read that really slowly, especially when you get to verse 10. That has certainly. The implications to give us peace, not cause us concern. All right? Okay, let's start back up there at verse 7 from the Greek. Everybody that has a Greek Bible, say amen. All right?
Romans 14, 7,
mm-hmm.
Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
For no one of us to himself lives,
mm-hmm.
and no one to himself dies.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, for whether we live,
to
the Lord, we live.
It's to the Lord.
Or if we die, to the Lord, we die.
It's to the Lord. And what is he saying?
Whether therefore we live, or if we die, of the Lord we are.
Well, okay, now we're going to read that real slowly. That's in verse 8. Read that again.
Verse 8?
Mm-hmm.
For whether we live, to the Lord we live.
Live is to the Lord.
Or if we die, to the Lord.
And you know, I really don't understand. You got the same words. I don't know why they got if we die.
Right.
Amen. That's eonte, which is the same as above. There, eonte, whether. No such thing as if you're gonna die. I don't think. All right, whether we die, what?
Whether therefore we live
to the Lord,
or whether we die, of the Lord we are.
So, and of course, he comes back to reinforce it here as it goes on. Whether therefore what?
Whether therefore we live, or whether we die, of the
Lord we are. That if, I don't know where you get that if from in there. All right, keep going. Whether we live or die, whether we live or if we die,
right.
Amen. If anything, if he had put when in there, I could deal with that. Huh? You live and the Lord tells you you're going to die.
Right.
You know, I know that's not the kind of message people want. Yeah. Pastor, that's not too comforting. It depends. It depends upon the knowledge you have.
That's it.
Whether that's confident or not.
Amen.
It depends upon the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I hear. Keep reading. What is it saying there?
In verse 9?
Uh-huh.
Verse 9. For Christ
mm-hmm.
died and lived in order that both of dead and living he might be Lord.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah.
So that you understand that he is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the verse before it, you have the Greek verb essen. It is. Oh my God! This is why we go to the grammar. It is. Shows possession.
All right.
Which means what? It's in the genitive case. The King James said, we are the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that means we belong to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's your boss.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
What Paul is trying to bring on here is that your living and dying is not about you. Your living and dying, amen, it's about what God has decreed for you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know what our problem is? Our problem is we have been sold a bill of goods that says that this thing is all about us.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are the center of the universe and things operate around us.
Right.
And then death comes along and it takes us out. The universe keeps going and that proves that it was never about us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't operate on your agenda. Now we have been programmed to envision a life as consisting of sequences that align and with accomplishments according to those things that we set out to do. In other words, our agendas. And from this, it causes us to believe that our own innate inclinations translate into various actions, that these result into independent determinants of what's going down. Huh? It's like we think we're driving this bus, but we're not. We're piloting this airplane, but we're not.
Amen.
This ship, huh?
Amen.
We're steering. Our hands are on the rudder, but it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. And so we think we have terminologies such as decisions and choices. And we perceive that we control and we shape the course of things in life. But That's a fallacy. That's a fallacy. And so when we think like this, we think independent of God and we move independent of God.
Yes.
Amen. And we think that things move and things occur based upon our own efforts. And that's foolhardy. That's nonsensical thinking. And you even see all of the things that's going on, and I'm not saying, hey, you know, don't do the best you can while you're here, amen. There's no such thing as a man-made Eden on the earth,
amen.
It'll never be brought back to, has to be a new heaven and a new earth,
right.
Amen. And so we're looking for blissfulness and joy, amen, and peace on the earth. And when it doesn't go that way, amen, we're confused, amen. But that's your agenda. That's not God's agenda.
Amen.
Understand this. And so we begin to focus on things, and we begin to focus on ourselves, amen, and what we esteem to be what should be effectuated. Amen. In this view, even God's people in faith, we create personal goals and, amen, and what we perceive as to be what the accomplishments should be. Amen. This unfortunate illusion does not take into account that God has a sovereign plan, will, and purpose.
Yes, Lord.
And He already determined and worked it out in eternity. Now, many of us subconsciously and even some consciously, we practice the pursuance of the things, our agenda, without consideration of what is God's agenda. Amen. As though our intentions can somehow shape what God is going to do. And, of course, we have the despicable doctrine of synergism. It teaches us that God needs our cooperation. Amen. To accomplish goals, and without that participation, it's not gonna happen. So we view ourselves maybe as helping God, but in reality, this is illusionary thinking and illusionary living. Amen. We must come to realize, as the Scripture is basically telling us, amen, that all is a part of God's design. And there's nothing that we can fix, a change, or alter, or influence. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about what we're doing. It's about what He has designed, what He has decreed. That's the happiness, not what you're doing. The Scripture is teaching us that. We're listening. We're listening. No. We feel and we think, amen, that things are happening, things are out of control, amen, simply because maybe it's something that we didn't do, maybe God is dissatisfied with something that we haven't done, amen. But nothing is actually happening apart from God's eternal plan, will, and purpose, amen, and decree. And these are only temporary functions according to the dictates of the praise creation. That's what's happening. Now, we will continue to be frustrated as long as we continue to misunderstand God's processes.
Yes.
And we live in the flawed confidence and esteem of ourselves rather than God. In reality, of course, when we do that, we will end up relying upon and esteeming, looking to, and prioritizing things in the humanistic physical sphere. And when we do that, and the thing is going the opposite way that we think it should go, amen, we're all messed up, amen. But it's not about your plan.
Amen.
You know, it's like we're living, we have agendas, we act like God doesn't have one.
Right.
Huh?
Oh.
And actually, the only agenda that counts is God's agenda. You don't have an agenda. You know, I mean, My God, you think that your goals and the things that how many, amen, that leave here, leave their goals on earth. It's not about you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, it is outrageous to assume that we pitifully limited human beings could ever rise above our depraved self efforts and create a personal paradise on this earth. And I'm gonna get me wrong and say, but Pastor, ain't you saying you should you should, as you abide, you should operate, amen, on the basis of whatever good your hands, as the scripture teaches, can be found to do, the things that you can participate, do, amen. But when that thing doesn't go down that way, don't you be all messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh? You know why it didn't go that way? Because God didn't agree it to go that way.
Yeah. Amen.
Hmm? That's why we're so disappointed. Amen. Because we have set up goals and standards. And when they run counter to what God has decreed, I tell you, it ain't going to happen.
Hallelujah.
And that's a problem. Amen. This is the mode of thinking. This is what formed the underlying impetus to our perceived human agendas that are really, in many cases, independent of the purpose of God. And if God has decreed it to happen a certain way, I tell you, manifestation is going to have to follow the decree.
Amen. Yes.
This mindset is merely a small step from assuming
Amen.
That one has no need of God, and is in fact capable of exerting actions that are equal to his, which is the essential logic that flows from trusting in yourself.
Yes.
Within this thinking lies subconscious assumption that we view this world and we view life functions, we view what we're looking at to be more realistic than what God has eternally purposed. You look at a thing one way, and that's not the way that thing is.
Amen.
That's the way you have perceived it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have perceived it doesn't mean that's the way it is.
Amen.
Amen. Huh? And many times we perceive things and our perception of them in direct confrontation with what God has decreed.
Amen.
You see, when God perceives, it's decreed. When you perceive something, it's not decreed. Not decreed. You perceived it that way, amen, and that thing's not coming out that way, amen. This is a flawed assumption, which in effect exudes the notion that we as human beings independently act and our actions are necessary, so-called assisting God. Now, no one would actually put it in this term. This thinking really amounts to it. Now, there's the tendency to from this function, apart from consulting what God's will is. How many of us, our daily life, seek the will of God? I mean, just be honest with yourself. Hmm? We have goals, we have plans, and we don't even consult God, do we? Huh? No, that's what I want. Huh? Anybody ever stop to ask? And you know, that's what caused the problem.
Yeah.
Because you know the way things are going to come out?
Right.
The way God, where God has decreed it. What God's will. What God's goal is. Amen. You don't have an agenda.
Amen.
Not really.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
You don't have an agenda.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
We operate as the pleasure of God.
Yes.
And Paul was speaking to those men in Mars Hill. He said, in him we live, we move, we have our being. It's about him. It's all about him. Amen. It's his plan. It's his will. It has nothing to do with you. Now, this thinking that we have, it's outrageous. None of us would really own up to it, but it's outrageous. In fact, the majority of the world thinks that way and operate that way. Oh, yes, we do. And we're part of it.
Yes.
All of the social, political, and religious operations, things that's going down,
yes.
No, it's all for the good of man. Quote. And I'm not militating against that. Amen. But again, when we look at the divine definition of what good is, well, we know that it's not good.
Yes.
Hmm? Anything that we touch is what? It's rotten.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Huh? So it must be God. God has to work and he has to move. Amen. Everything is about him. It's about the divine standards of God, the truth of God. And you see, what has messed us up is that, you see, whatever you think about salvation, it works its way down in life.
Yes.
This is why we go back to step one, and that is salvation, and get salvation straight.
Yes.
Amen. So if we understand that salvation is God's program, you realize that daily life is God's program.
Yes.
But because we think our salvation is our program, amen, we think that daily living is our program. But my friend, none of it is about us. It's all about him.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Thank God.
So all our functioning, as I close this morning, should be based on the truth that God's will is the issue, not our will. That God's righteousness is the perfect standard, not depraved, pathetic, self-induced standards. The prioritized course of living must be invested in pleasing God. This is possible only according to his will. The truth of the matter is that the eternal purpose of God is the only realistic center and focus as it exudes all God's manifested workings. This is the essence of what true living is about. Amen. Listen as I close. Agendas that run counter to and in opposition to God are designed to manifest denial of the exclusiveness of his essence. Amen. And are in rebellion to the entire purpose and plan of God for the lives of his people. Amen. This is true whether the issue is applicable to our own personal life or what we think we are doing in the world.
Yes.
Now listen. Of all of everything that is happening, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, this is what our focus will continue to be on. And his redemptive work, it is the exclusive remedy and solution for mankind's dilemma. There's only one way out of all of this that's going down. There's only one hope. Amen.
Yes.
It's in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For deliverance from sin, deliverance from evil,
yes.
Deliverance from disease,
yes.
Deliverance from death.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh my God. These all characterize what the function of the world actually is. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, our focus is in the wrong place. It is only through Jesus Christ's glorious return and his decreed everlasting kingdom that things, first of all, in this world will be straightened out, but even more than that, our place in him will be manifested. Amen. So to our claims and our goals and our running around and the things that we are doing, amen, our plans, our agendas, when we are into these things and we think this is what's happening and this is what we are prioritizing, we are abiding in illusionary folly.
Hallelujah.
That's all we're doing.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We cannot improve the world. We can't change the world. Amen. We cannot renovate anything. Amen. The only solution is in him. Is in him. Again, amen. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He is the boss. Amen. He is in charge. It's about him. It's all about him. And so we go back, amen, again. And I'm through for the day. We go back again. And then I know, you know, sometimes when we're preaching and we're ministering, amen, to the average person sitting there and say, well, this is complicated. No, it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's the subject matter. the subject matter. The subject matter is vested in the things that you can't see. You can't taste. You can't touch. You can't physically connect with. You know? And the non-spiritual mind, these things tend to bore. So I'm bored to death. That's the physical, that's the natural mind, amen, that's not connecting, because what we're ministering about is not physicality. What we're ministering about, amen, are the eternal, everlasting, unseen things.
Yeah.
And we must continue to abide there, because as the things of life begin to fall, the things of life, amen, begin, the foundations of them begin to unroot, amen. We begin to see the things that we have depended upon so much, they begin to unravel, amen. We even begin to see the death of loved ones, and amen, we begin to see the catastrophic mishaps of life and the things that are going on counter to what our dreams are. In other words, when the wind is taken out of your sail, and your dreams and your aspirations and your goals, amen, begin to flounder, amen. You don't think that life has dealt you a bad deck of cards, huh? Oh, no. You see, amen, if you prioritize God and you put the things of Him out front and in front, we can do like the song says. It says, what? Turn your eyes, what? On Jesus. And what? Look in His, focus on Him. Focus. He said, yeah, but I got to take care of these things around me. Focus on Him.
Amen.
He said, I got to stop this. You can't stop it. Focus on Him. And as you do that, what would happen? The things of earth, what happens to the things of earth? Begin to grow dim in comparison to Him. Huh? In the eyes of what? His glory and His grace. And so, I beg you, I beseech you, amen, let's get with focusing on the eternal, everlasting, unseen. All right, we'll continue this next week, and the week after that, 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 because there's really nothing else to talk about. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God.